Hey, just before you get started, since recording this episode, ANZ has also come out and said that they are going to limit temporarily low deposit borrowing. Now, what that means is that when we've said in this podcast, hey, perhaps you'd like to consider go talking to ANZ, that's not going to be an option anymore, but some of the other major banks still are offering those low deposits. Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicol.
And today on the show, we're talking about that the BNZ are banishing low deposit loans. Ooh. Now, this actually comes off the back of... There was not a very good fade out of the music. Can I make that comment, please, Andrew?
Oh, sorry.
The worst fade I've ever heard from you thus far, but it's okay. I'll be back in the studio soon. Now, BNZ and Kiwi Bank came out a couple of weeks ago and said, nope, no longer doing low deposit loans. So what we're going to do today is take you through what that means, who's going to be impacted, and how the market is expected to fare. So just take us through, Andrew, what is the move that these two banks have made?
So they've both come out and said they're no longer accepting approvals or pre-approvals for borrowers with less than a 20% deposit unless it meets the exemptions. And Kiwi Bank actually went a step further and cancelled all of its pre-approvals unless the pre-approval was actually linked to a specific property. So if you had an actual property in a settlement day or you were going through due diligence, you're fine. But if you didn't, they just cancelled them. And that's the first time that this has happened since the GFC. So it's pretty big deal. Spokesperson for Kiwi Bank said that they were sympathetic to the challenges for first home buyers, but they needed to stop accepting pre-approval applications over 80% LVR for the time being in order to meet the Reserve Bank's rules. So let's talk about what's no longer going to be approved and what's still being approved. So no longer approved, if you've got a 10% deposit and you're a first home buyer and you're buying existing property through Kiwi Bank or BNZ, not going to get it approved. What you can still get approved, if you're buying a new build and you're a first home buyer, then technically you can get that through because it's a new build and it falls under the Reserve Bank exemptions. 20% deposit for new build investments, because again, no LVR restriction, and 5% for first home buyers under the first home loan scheme. But remember, there's a lot of criteria you've got to meet there. So Ed, tell us who is and isn't going to be impacted.
Well, look, short answer, if you're a first home buyer, big impact. If you're some sort of other owner occupier, you've already had your first home, or you're an investor, almost no impact for you. So if I look at the last 6 months worth of lending data, 38% of lending taken out by first home buyers, so let's call that 38% of first home buyers, were borrowing with less than a 20% deposit. For other owner-occupiers, it was 3.3%. For investors, it's 0.25%. So essentially what I'm saying here is 1 in 400 investors are borrowing with less than a 20% deposit. About 1 in 33 other owner-occupiers, so people who are second or third home buyers, 1 in 33 of them are purchasing with less than a 20% deposit. But about just under 1 in 2, kind of 2 in 5, first home buyers are out there purchasing with less than a 20% deposit. So a lot of them. So essentially, first home buyers really impacted. Everybody else not as impacted because they're already on the property ladder. But you've also got to remember that that is not going to be evenly distributed around the country. So if you're a first home buyer who's living in Auckland or Wellington, you guys are going to be most impacted. Whereas if you're a first home buyer buying in a cheaper part of the country, say you're in Southland or the West Coast, you're not going to be as impacted. And actually, that was one thing. I'm not sure if I've talked about this on the podcast recently. Back when we were doing our first home buyer tours around the country, kind of 2 years ago, Andrew, even back then when property prices were cheaper, one thing that always struck me was that the issues that first home buyers faced around the country were different. So if you're a first home buyer in Auckland or Wellington, usually servicing is not your issue because you're in jobs that have pretty good incomes, but because house prices are so expensive, you don't have the deposit. Whereas if you're in a place like Christchurch or further south, your issue is less about your deposit and it's more about servicing tended to be the issue. So what I'm saying here, Auckland or Wellington first home buyers, you're going to be more impacted. Everywhere else, hey, might not be as much of an issue. Other thing is, if you've got a pre-approval from BNZ, then use it now because you really will lose it. You're not going to have that rolled over again if you let that pre-approval expire. Now, of course, if you got that pre-approval from KiwiBank and it wasn't for a specific property, it's gone, so you're going to be impacted. But walk us through, Andrew, why is it that these banks have made this move?
The Reserve Bank's reduced how much of the bank's book can actually be at this high LVR lending. And so they've said only 10% of your book can be of that for owner-occupied lending. And so now they've got to get their book, if they're currently at 12, they've got to get that below the 10% mark. And banks like to have a little bit of a wiggle room there. So what you're probably going to see over the next wee while is some really tough criteria like BNZ and KiwiBank while they get their book under control. And then they'll probably ease it a little bit and they'll accept things for existing customers, for example, with a sale and purchase agreement.
And how long do you reckon that it will last where they're not approving at that higher amount?
I'd say it's probably a 6-month thing.
Yeah, I'd agree. It's until they get their books into line with the new LVR restrictions is probably what it's going to be. Now, I think that what's really important to know, though, is if you are a first-home buyer wanting to go out, because this is obviously who it affects, and you still want to purchase a property, all is not lost. So I think we have got 4 strategies that you can use in order to be able to still move. So let's dive into those strategies. Strategy number 1 is to buy new. So obviously, new properties, there is actually no LVR restriction. So you won't come under these new rules. So there was actually, I saw a BNZ spokesperson actually said that BNZ is continuing to lend on new build homes with at least a 10% deposit for those first home buyers. So because those properties are exempt, new builds, from the LVR restrictions, the banks are still able to get their books into order to comply with the new LVR restriction and still dole out 10% deposit loans for new builds. So that's one option to think about if you are a first home buyer looking to get onto that property ladder.
The second strategy is falling under the category of the first home loan. So that's exempt from LVR restrictions, so that's good. You can go with a minimum of a 5% deposit, but you still need to meet the individual's bank's approval. So 10% is probably more common. So you've got to meet the housing cap criteria. So just to give you an idea of what, or a reminder of what those are, in Auckland, for example, if you're buying an existing house, that's 625. If you're buying a new house, it's 700,000. If you're in Hamilton or Tauranga, it's going to be 525 for an existing house, 600K for a new house. Christchurch is 500K for an existing house, 550 for a new house. Those price caps probably need some adjustment. KiwiBank participates in the first home loan scheme, but just remember that BNZ, ASB, ANZ do not. Westpac and TSB do as well.
So you basically can't get that first home loan exemption through every bank. But if you are trying to work with KiwiBank, then they do participate in that scheme. But doing the first home loan obviously won't work if you're trying to go with BNZ and now can't borrow for them because they don't participate in that particular scheme.
Just one other thing, you do have to meet the income cap. So if you're single, that's 95K. As a couple, it's 150K. So again, there's pretty tight criteria here. If you fall outside of one of these, you can't apply for the loan.
Now, number 3, of course, is you can use other banks. And so if you've got a mortgage broker, I'd certainly be asking them to shop around. So just because these current rules apply to KiwiBank and BNZ, what you can do is walk down the road, go and see your old mates at ASB, see your old mates at ANZ, maybe a TSB, some of those other lenders. You can still move around and try and get lending from other banks, but of course that just means you will have to meet their servicing criteria as well. So, you know, shopping around the banks is still a valid strategy in this situation while KiwiBank and BNZ get their books in order.
Strategy number 4, go and see the bank of mum and dad. And actually, this is probably quite a topical one at the moment because one of our guys, one of our property partners, actually, who's investing, has decided he wants to buy his own house and got declined by BNZ with a 17% cash deposit. So really strong deposit, really good income. Well, maybe the next best thing is to go and talk to mum and dad to guarantee that remaining 3% to get him to a 20% deposit. So just to run you through how this would work, he's got 17% in cash. He's going to be able to borrow potentially 80% from the bank, but there's a 3% shortfall. So you can go and see mum and dad who have got their own properties as security. Let's call it 50 grand for made up numbers. He says, mum and dad, can I borrow 50 grand off you? Well, they don't have the cash, but they've got the equity. So then mum, dad, and the property partner get a loan for 3% from the bank, and then he pays the bank back that, and once he can pay it off in full or refinance it, mum and dad are done.
Okay, so those are the 4 strategies that you can use if you're falling outside of these. Now, last thing I just want to talk about is, well, what's the overall impact on the market? So the first thing is to understand, well, how much of that lending in the market level is over 80%. So over the last 6 months, about 9.2% of all lending was over 80%. Now, that actually makes up about 8% of the total market because, of course, not everybody out there purchasing properties is doing so with a mortgage. There are people in New Zealand, and I know it's hard to believe, but there are people out there who don't purchase properties with a mortgage because they've sold their house, they didn't have a mortgage, and so they just go ahead and purchase a place 100% with cash. That makes up about, I think, 12% of the market. So about 8% of the market would be affected by these changes if BNZ and KiwiBank were the only options. But we've also got to consider, well, what's going to happen to these people? Are these people, the 8% of the total market, are they just going to give up? Or are they going to try and go to another bank? Are they going to try and buy something else, perhaps something cheaper so their deposit stretches further? Or are they going to try and get help from Bank of Mum and Dad? Are they going to actually still purchase, but purchase in a different way? Now, my feeling is that at a broad level, this is probably not going to have too much of a market impact because while, again, 8% of the market might be impacted by it, not everybody's using KiwiBank and BNZ. We've got other banking opportunities. And of course, these people might be able to find a way to purchase in a different way. So maybe purchasing a cheaper property like an apartment, maybe getting Bank of Mum and Dad in there, still borrowing the money, but structuring it in such a way that it's still got 20% security or it's only an 80% loan. So look, it might have a small impact at the margin, maybe 1, 2% of the market, maybe 3% at a stretch, I can imagine, might be taken out of it. But we're not talking about massive numbers here. But obviously, it is going to be concentrated among those first home buyers who, you know, 40% of that lending is over that 80% limit. So that's the key thing to take in mind. But just watch out for how long this actually lasts. We may start to see that being wound back in about 6 months' time. Fantastic. Let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Really does help us get the message out to more people. And Tay, if you want to learn more about property with Andrew and I, why not check out our YouTube channel? Because every single Wednesday, we do release a brand new video to teach you something new about the property market here in New Zealand. I'm going to drop a link to that in the show notes. So tap or swipe over the cover art or just Google Opus Partners YouTube. It'll be the first thing that comes up. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And we're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.